Yesterday, February 11th, was the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And for anyone who has a devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes or is familiar with the story of the Blessed Mother's appearance there to St. Bernadette in 1858 and how Lourdes has become this destination for pilgrimages mainly by people who are sick and suffering. And there have been any number of verified, investigated, miraculous healings that have taken place there in the many years since Mary appeared there to St. Bernadette. And I have, as you know, a great devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes. I wrote about it in my bulletin article, which I know you're all dying to read. Probably even on the way home, right? You just dive right into that, into the bulletin. But no, so I have a great devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes, and every year around this time is actually where the church as a whole focuses her spiritual attention on the sick, on praying for the sick, on meditating on just the reality of human illness and suffering, and just lifting up the sick all over the world on the occasion of this feast. And so that's been kind of on my mind and my heart. And I always find it interesting that often when you read, say, an obituary for someone who died after a long illness, or maybe even someone who, thanks be to God, makes it to the other side of a serious illness and recovers, or maybe even, I'm sure that's happened to many people we know, each and every one of us, maybe we ourselves have been through great suffering of one kind or another, an illness, some kind of mental or emotional struggle, maybe a particularly difficult loss of a loved one that has caused us deep grief and sadness. You know, whatever it might be, one of the ways that often gets described is either, you know, maybe in a eulogy or in an obituary, that this person, after a courageous battle with whatever it might be, again, an illness, whatever, so this idea of a courageous battle or a brave struggle. And in the words of a comedian that I once heard, that I do have this fear, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, I think, gosh, you know, if that were written about me, they might have to say, he died after a cowardly skirmish with an illness, right? Because we think that this is very possible for us. Of course, we're inspired by whoever it might be who did engage in that courageous battle. We think, gosh, you know, could I do that? I don't know if I could do it. And of course, we don't know until it actually happens to us. And maybe people we look to their example and were inspired by those people who did fight that courageous battle, they would not have been able to anticipate, but they found the strength. And so it's actually kind of a fruitless question, you know, could I do it? Could I, faced with the reality of a serious illness or suffering, rise to the challenge, so to speak, and demonstrate that patience and love and steadiness and willingness to suffer? And it's that question that comes to us in a slightly different form in our gospel this Sunday. Because in the same way we might ask ourselves, gosh, could I really fight bravely? Could I really struggle patiently with a serious illness? It seems like it's beyond my strength. It seems like it might be something that would just crush me. I'm glad for the example of this person who was brave and made their way through. But could I do it? It's a similar kind of question we might ask when the Lord, as he continues through this Sermon on the Mount, he's given us the Beatitudes. Last week he told us to be salt and light. And now he hits us with this really difficult truth. It was a long gospel, and it was a difficult one, maybe one of the most difficult. Because what the Lord is teaching us is that in order to inherit the kingdom of God, in order to be his follower, we have to observe something even more than the law of the Old Testament. In all these ways, he takes the law and he actually tightens it up and he makes it more demanding. Don't just avoid killing people, don't even have anger towards people. Not only just don't commit adultery, don't violate your marriage vows, but don't even think about it. Don't even let that cloud of lust come into your heart. Very difficult. Especially in our world, where there's so many temptations against chastity and purity in our world. That's the subject of a whole other homily. Right? Be not only don't take false or lightly take vows, but just be direct with people. Don't we struggle with that so much? Like actually just letting our yes be yes and our no be no. There's words in our culture now, in our society, that don't mean what they used to mean. We're even messing with language so that we can't even speak the truth clearly to each other. We live in a time where even speaking things that are just objectively true get you in trouble, ruin your reputation, make you have to apologize for saying something insensitive. Right? There's all these ways in which it seems like Jesus is asking us for the impossible. We're saying that to follow him means that we can't actually do it. We wonder, in the same way we might wonder, gosh, if I was diagnosed with a terrible illness, would I be able to show patience and suffer through it patiently and accept it? You know, in the same way, Lord is asking us to follow him in this way that seems even more demanding, seems almost impossible. Could I really do it? Or do I recognize in myself that, yeah, maybe I will just approach this not with the courage that I want to, but with something less. But what we have to remember is that when Jesus gives this instruction, when he gives this new law, when he says he fulfills the law, what he does is that he offers himself to us. He offers us his life of grace. And so the answer is yes. Yes, I can do this. Because Jesus has led the way. Because Jesus doesn't just speak the law. He doesn't just command. He himself offers himself for us so that he can live in us. And see, that's what we recognize when we see someone struggling patiently with a holy surrender and a willingness to accept suffering. That's what actually causes our hearts to be inspired, is because in the best circumstances, that person is relying on something beyond themselves. They're relying on the power of Jesus Christ in them to accept this suffering, to unite their sufferings to his. When you see someone living the Christian life, and when we are living the Christian life, when we're living the life of grace, when we're receiving the sacraments faithfully, when we're serving each other, when we're looking beyond ourselves, and we're fulfilling that law, when we're avoiding temptations to excessive anger, when we're avoiding temptation to lust, avoiding entertainments that might lead us down that path or situations that might lead us down that path, when we're careful about our speech, right, when we protect the sanctity of our covenants of marriage or our vocations, that's not us doing that on our own power. That's not us just white-knuckling our way through this life. It's us relying on the grace and power of Christ, on that hidden wisdom that St. Paul talked about in the second reading. When we say no to the voices of the world that tell us to just violate all those things, that there's no harm in letting you just be who you are, you do you, right? We say no to that. That's the popular wisdom. That's the wisdom out there that you hear of every day and that we are immersed in every day. But the hidden wisdom of Jesus Christ says, no, we can live from a deeper place. We can live according to a higher law, and we don't have to be afraid of it. We might fail from time to time. We will still experience weakness. We'll still experience those moments of having a cowardly skirmish with the struggle. But we'll be ready to repent and receive Jesus' mercy and try again. To sort of wrap this up, I want to share with you a grace that I received the other evening when I actually went to see the movie about Lourdes. Maybe you noticed there was just a brief showing of this beautiful French documentary about Lourdes and the apparitions there and the way pilgrims go there on a journey to seek healing. And it was made in France a few years ago and is now just received English subtitles, so it can be released for us to see. And I went to the showing the other night, and I was just really struck by the way this film was done. What it did is it acknowledged that, yes, there have been these miraculous physical healings. right? That some, like about 70 of them, that the church has carefully investigated and authenticated and say these are medically inexplicable, that the power of God is at work here to have brought about these healings. And then there's about 7,000 reported healings that haven't been fully investigated but are still sort of the also considered a part of the miracles of Lourdes. And what the documentary did a really good job of is showing that, say, when a sick pilgrim goes to Lourdes with their family or whatever, that many of them aren't going there chasing a miracle. They aren't going there expecting that somehow Our Lady will grant them a miraculous healing from whatever their affliction is. But what they go there to discover is that they want to experience the presence of Jesus, the presence of Mary. The documentary did this magnificent job of showing the love of the volunteers who welcome the pilgrims and care for them while they're there, and just the faith of everyone approaching this holy place, this sanctuary, where the sick feel welcome and they feel close to the mystery of Jesus' love for us. That was so powerful. That is actually the grace of Our Lady of Lourdes, is to help people feel close to the mystery of human suffering that was shared by Jesus himself. And there was one particular person that they featured in the documentary, a man named Jean, a French man named Jean, who was dying of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, really one of the cruelest afflictions a person could suffer. And there was a very powerful scene where he was at Mass in the wheelchair, all kinds of medical equipment sort of enveloping him. And the priest came and gave him Holy Communion. And he received Holy Communion with this look of just immense peace on his face, despite his physical suffering. And of course, I actually didn't really have a dry eye the whole movie. But just seeing that was just an icon of what we're talking about. How powerful is the life of grace? How powerful is the Holy Spirit to bring us peace even in the midst of suffering? And so in the same way, how powerful is the grace of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live this law, to help us live what Christ invites us to live? So do not be afraid, for blessed is he who follows the law of the Lord.